Good morning. It is great to be here again and see you again. I think this might be my fifth or sixth visit to the church. For those of you who don't know me, I work with Fellowship International Mission in the home office. I think you have noticed that I have an accent. Have you noticed that? That's because I was born and raised in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, a few years ago. And I want to say to you how much I appreciate your involvement in missions. And I want to encourage you to keep on doing so. Amen? And those of you who are not that involved, to become more involved in pursuing missions. Searching the Lord, asking Him to show what role you should have. Maybe going, maybe praying more, maybe giving more, but getting involved in missions, because as we get involved in missions, that's what God wants, and He's going to bless us as well. I want to also to express my appreciation to the church for our relationship developed, started with the Bisbees as I came here. To check with, in the beginning was Pastor Paul, and then Pastor Glennie, and now I look forward to interacting with another pastor when he comes, and I'll be praying for that the church will have a wisdom in choosing the right person. But it started that way, and I praise the Lord that the church has also decided to be involved in our own ministry, which is really exciting for me. And you can count on my prayers when I am somewhere in the world, as I was in Senegal. I always remember those who are making it possible with a great gratitude in my heart. And you are my heroes because you make it possible for me to do what God has called me to do. And I want to encourage you, all of you, to really be more knowledgeable regarding what's happening with your missionaries, like the Bisbees, and I don't know all the missionaries that you support, but get to know as much as possible about them and pray for them, because that's what we need. We need your prayers so that God will make us effective for His glory. And again, I want to say how much I appreciate, as I look to you and the church right here in Seekonk, Massachusetts, involved in the world, involved in ministry in Senegal, for instance. I don't want to take too much time, but I want also to share with you, because I know that not all of you will be in Sunday school, but my own perspective from the trip, brief, I hope. It was a great trip for myself, besides hanging out with Peter and Pastor Glennie for the week at the Baptist Center. The Lord gave us great accommodations, a place where we could hang out afterwards and talk, and there was a kitchen there and a nice area that we could sit and relax and debrief and discuss things regarding what we saw there in Senegal. And that was really exciting. I almost beat Peter in basketball. I gave him a hard time, which for me was really surprising, because that's not my thing. But anyway, but he's good. He's good, especially those downtown shots, those long distance things, is really good. Anyway, we had a good time, and then seeing what the Bisbees are doing with the medical outreach involved with the International Baptist Church, that we got there in the morning and just got involved in ministry right away. That was really great. And also visiting with Moses, whose real name is Mustafa. By the way, that was Sunday night from about 6:30 to 10 o'clock, wasn't it, Peter? We stayed there talking with Mustafa. I had met him before 2 years ago when I went there, but never had the chance to share with him. And that there were four of us against him. Well, I guess in his favor, but he didn't know that, maybe. Preaching Christ, and then he, from his side, refuting with his Muslim understanding, but that was a great experience as well. And then, as then already shared with you, visiting the slaves house of slaves in the island of Gorée, and having the opportunity of sharing with the guide. The guide was talking about the atrocities really done against the slaves, and then I could share with him about the depravity in man's heart that reflected. And then there was a door of no return, a door that the slaves would go either to the ships or to the sharks. And I could share with him that Christ is the door to paradise. No one can come to the Father except through him. Then he mentioned that then should have a commendation from the president of Senegal because he has been there for a long time. And I think he was pointing to the fact that I think he could see something different in us and saying that we have a message to share. He was saying about that. And then I said that, yes, we received it freely and we gave it freely. And having a chance to share a little bit about the fact Christ had died for our sins, a little bit of the gospel. And then in the end, I told him, as I looked in his eyes, and I said, you know, you are very valuable to God, because you are made in his image. And this is something that all of us should remember. Every person we meet has been made in the image of God and is very, very valuable to God. And so we should treat everybody accordingly, and especially sharing the gospel to those who don't know him yet. So that was a great experience. Then I had also opportunity to get to know some Brazilians who are there in Senegal doing ministry. There is a group in Senegal called Talibés, kids taken from the village by the religious leaders to beg on the streets of Senegal. And that's really very sad. But there are some Brazilians who have a Brazilian restaurant, a steakhouse, Brazilian steakhouse. Have you experienced that, by the way? Brazilian steakhouse? No? That's becoming very popular here in the States, and I would encourage you to do that someday when you have a chance. But anyway, there is one right there in Senegal, and for my surprise, the owners are missionaries, and they use that to reach out to these talibés, to these kids. And they have a house that they get these kids, they give them showers and food, and clothing, share the gospel, and when they are saved, they employ them, which is a big deal. And then because they are employed, they can help their families, and their families have less resistance to them or rejection to them for the fact that they have become Christians because they're helping their families. So that's very impressive. And if you remember that, please pray for this, because that's a big way to reach also the Senegalese who are very close to be reached. So I was impressed with that. And then later I had a chance to meet with a Brazilian medical doctor who has a clinic, and his wife is a dentist. If I knew that beforehand, I could have taken advantage of a tooth that I have here that needs some attention. But anyway, I could see that. And he also has a soccer school for kids. And I love to play soccer. And I was there, and he asked me to speak to the kids a little bit. And that was a great experience also. Those kids sitting on the ground. And then I speak into them a little bit about, couldn't say Jesus, kind of have to be very careful how we share the gospel there. But I was encouraging them to do the best to the glory of God. And I know that their mind, maybe God is Allah, but then our doctor is working with them little by little with the desire of reaching them for Christ and eventually being able to share very openly. And I mentioned a soccer player, Brazilian soccer player called Kaká, who plays for Real Madrid now in Spain. And when he was the champion of the world, he took his shirt, his jersey, and underneath there was a shirt, "I belong to Jesus," for the whole world to see. So Kaká has become, for me, a very, very important matter of prayer, because he's a missionary. He's a soccer player, but also a missionary. He gives this testimony. And everybody in the world who loves soccer knows about Kaká. So that was a great experience as well, seeing what's going on there. Too much for sharing about these things. As I said, I work with FIM. My ministry is as director for personnel is to hang out with missionaries, which is a great thing. I love that, and try to encourage them in their ministry. And that's why I had the privilege of going to Senegal And we work very closely with what we call Key Accountability Partner Church. This coming week, the Lord permitting, our director and I, we will meet with another church in the D.C. area. And that's mainly my ministry. I work with missionaries, trying to encourage them. But I am called to be a disciple maker. And in Allentown, where I live in Pennsylvania now, God has given me the privilege, still in my age, by His grace, to play soccer with people who are younger than me, most of them. Some are like 30s, and it's tough to play against them, you know what I mean? But yesterday, before I came here, I had the chance to go there again. And from like 3 to 5, I was playing. I was running on the field, and that was really great. I almost scored a goal. I hit the pole. I was precise, but not precise enough, right? Anyway, and but that also is a great opportunity for me to share the gospel with those guys who play, because they are unbelievers, most of them, except one that I know that is involved in a Baptist church. And one of them is called Yusuf, Joseph. And yesterday, if I didn't come here, probably I would go to the party for a farewell party for Joseph. He just was going back to his country from Djibouti. And I had the privilege of giving him a little DVD before, like when he arrived. I made the point of coming to him and say, "We appreciate that. I really like to play with you, and you'll be missed. I want to give this to you." I had already given him a DVD in the past, also a book, The Passion of the Christ, written by John Piper. And he's Muslim. So playing soccer affords me opportunities to hang out with people like this. I remember when I came here several years ago, I was speaking in Sunday school class and I was sharing about Mike, a Russian Jew surgeon, colon surgeon. And I was sharing about a book that somebody from the Sunday school class mentioned to me. And it happened that I think it was Pastor Glennie. He had the book in the trunk of his car. And he gave the book to me that I could give to this Mike, who was there playing yesterday again, by the way. And I gave him a Bible as well. And another guy called Ross, who is also a doctor, a Jew as well. I gave him the same book that another friend, when I shared about that, said that he had as well. So playing soccer affords me, as I said, opportunity to share with these people. And I love them. I love to be there. And I appreciate you if you remember that in your prayers when you remember me. Amen? Well, this is a missionary emphasis month. So you were expecting me to speak about missions, but I decided to speak about Proverbs, okay, because I think this is a requisite for you to be involved in missions, really, because I believe that we cannot really be involved in doing what God has called us to do if we are not pursuing the basic stuff. And I think this is the basic. I love the book of Proverbs. So I hope that you allow me today to share to you more of my heart, and I hope that these things will be very encouraging to you. Amen? Proverbs chapter 2. When the text was read, I was having goosebumps. Goosebumps? Is that? Goosebumps. In Portuguese, it's arrepiado. Because this speaks to me very much. Maybe it doesn't speak to you as much. And I would like to encourage you to look more to the book of Proverbs. Actually, I would like to encourage you to read Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters, and you can read a chapter a day, and then when you finish reading chapter 31, you start again on the first of the day. So today, what day of the week is today? 14, right? So don't go to bed without reading Proverbs 14, amen? Is that a deal? Proverbs 14, and tomorrow chapter 15, and so on. And forever, until you die. In other words, I want to get you hooked on Proverbs. I just started teaching Proverbs in a Sunday school class in my church to college people, kids. And one of my aims is this, to get them hooked on Proverbs. I want to get you hooked on the book of Proverbs. Because the book of Proverbs, a book of something that we all need. And was even prayed as we're thinking about the pastor for the church. We all need wisdom, right? But before entering in this chapter, I would like to call your attention to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 1, says that we should rejoice, we should have as motive of great joy. It says in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face all kinds of trials. Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, trials. We all go through trials, don't we? I call them trucks. Trucks. I think here I also have this road. It's not like the 195 or 95, two lanes. Imagine driving this road here and you are behind a convoy of trucks. Sometimes driving in Brazil, for instance, from São Paulo, which is a big city down south, a city called Curitiba, road like this in the past. Now they have also different lanes. But then if we have one going this direction, the other one coming this direction, and then in front of you, a truck. As I said, that's one main road connecting São Paulo to Curitiba. So all the commerce being done through that road. And then with much difficulty, are we behind the truck and smelling those fumes, and it's not good, is it? And then passing that truck, looking ahead, what is there? Another truck. And that's how life is, isn't it? Trucks everywhere. I was sharing about this one time, and a guy said, I'm a truck driver, and for me, the small cars are real annoyances. Trucks. It says here, trials of several kinds. Several, I could imagine, trucks of several colors, several brands. And that's our life. There's one trial here, and tomorrow, another trial there, isn't it? And you might be under a big trial now. And sometimes trials take a long time. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, it talks about heat. When the heat comes regarding the man who trusts in the Lord. In the year of drought. So heat might be something temporary. You have a heat here and then the heat goes away. But then the year of drought is a long time. And sometimes we are facing trials that take a long time. And they keep there. And as I said, connected with missions, sometimes these trials, they are kind of blocking us from serving the Lord. So should we use that as an excuse not to serve him? I don't think so. So we need something else to be able to overcome it. Consider it as pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Keep on going. By the way, when I was at, I shouldn't spend too much time in James because I want to go to Proverbs, but I was at Cedarville University studying here when I 1979 when I first came to the States to go to school, and I would hear the president always speaking in the platform, "Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, never quit." So don't quit, keep on going, persevere. Amen. And it says perseverance should have complete actions, complete action, so that you should be mature. What does it say here? Mature and complete and not lacking anything. So that's the road towards maturity. Trials. Trucks of many kinds. But then he says, if you lack wisdom, and that's what we usually need, isn't it? We usually lack as we face trials of several kinds. We need wisdom. It says, ask God who gives freely, liberally, and it will be given to you. But ask with faith, because the one who asks without, like the sea, the waves of the sea, blown back and forth by the winds, that man should not suppose he would receive anything from the Lord, because he is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So, in the midst of our trials, we need wisdom. And we should ask God for wisdom. One time I was talking with a lady, it was a long time in Brazil, and then she said, I asked God for wisdom, and I keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and he never gives me that wisdom. Okay, something is missing there. Might be that faith, but also, I would say that that's the component that we see in the book of Proverbs chapter 2. We ask God for wisdom. God's going to give us wisdom, but there is our role, very important, which is to pursue it with all we have. And that's what Proverbs chapter 2 is saying. Chapter 2, 1. The book of Proverbs, again, is a book of wisdom. What is wisdom, by the way? It's a big concept, isn't it? It's tough to really come to a definition of wisdom. Well, the Hebrew word for wisdom is the word chokmah. That's my favorite word. I have it in a couple of email addresses that I have. One of them is, if you want to talk with me, communicate with me, it's chokmah2000@aol.com. I use that for my communication with my supporters. Then I have one backup email address, which is chokmah@hotmail.com. The chokmah2000@aol was not given to me because I stopped having it. Maybe somebody got it. I don't know. Anyway, chokmah, wisdom. Because, and this is what I'm proposing to you, I'm trying to be focused on the pursuit of wisdom. And I would suggest you to also be focused in the pursuit of wisdom, chokmah. Now, the Hebrew word chokmah basically means skill. Skill. And it's used, for instance, in Exodus chapter 28, when God called the folks to build the tabernacle. He gave them chokmah to build according to his requirements. Those folks knew how to handle wood or material. They had chokmah. They had wisdom. It is a different context also in the Old Testament, but especially in the book of Proverbs, is the skills in interpersonal relationships, how to relate with God and how to relate with your neighbor. So that's a big deal. So that my former professor has defined wisdom as social skills. Social skills that produce an abundant life. So think about that, okay? Wisdom, social skill that produce an abundant life. And you see that in the book of Proverbs. And wisdom has what is called, he calls co-referential terms. Don't pay too much attention to that term itself, but just think about it. We have a couple of words in the book of Proverbs. One of them is righteousness, and the other one is knowledge. For instance, in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of? No. Knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, why knowledge there and wisdom? Because they're pretty much the same. They have different nuances of meaning, but pretty much the same thing. The wise in Proverbs is righteous. The righteous is wise. It's like our friend, or your friend, Dick Cheney, right? Who is he? He was the vice president of the United States. When you think about his relationship with the president. But also he was the chairman of the Congress, wasn't it? Is it Congress? Based on his relationship with the Congress. It's the same person. So that's the idea. When you think about the wisdom and knowledge, talking about the same, pretty much the same thing. And the book of Proverbs provides the knowledge that we have to relate well with people, so that wisdom then would be the meaning would be this social skill or interpersonal skill that produces an abundant life. It's much more than that, because wisdom has different terms. When we read chapter 2 of Proverbs, as I heard the reading already, and you heard it yourself, it says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Understanding is also a synonym of wisdom. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, so you see they have these synonyms of wisdom as well in the book of Proverbs, like prudence, discernment, discipline, learning, and others that cause the concept of wisdom to really be more overarching. Wisdom, skill, social skill that produce an abundant life. How to deal with these trials that are on our way, and we need that, don't we? And it says here, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, if you turn to wisdom, if you look for it with all you have, the first requirement here for you to really be committed to that pursuit is this acceptance. If you accept, it says there, if you accept my words. Now, I'm proposing that to you today. And you might be there kind of wondering, why should I listen to this guy? He has an accent. He likes soccer. I like basketball. And sometimes you might even reject what you're hearing just because of things like this. You're trying to figure out who is speaking, right? Well, in the case here, who is speaking? My son. Well, we have a father speaking to the son, probably a king speaking to his son in the house. He says, if you accept my commands, well, I want to propose to you that it's much more than that. Because it is really God speaking through the Father to the Son. Now, why people don't accept? And the proposal here is wisdom. Look for wisdom with all you have. Well, some folks in the book of Proverbs don't accept that. They don't care, really. And one of them is, for instance, the simpleton. The simpleton in the book of Proverbs. Simple. The Hebrew word for simple is piti, which means open. He's open-minded. He's gullible. He believes everything. He's not truly committed to the pursuit of wisdom. And then in chapter 1, we see a wisdom speaking. It's interesting that in the book of Proverbs, she's a lady. It's personified because I think we tend to get the concepts better when we see that in a person, right? Like Abigail, for instance. Remember Abigail? She was the wife of Nabal. Remember Nabal? Nabal, by the way, is the Hebrew word for fool. And so this guy, his name was Abel because he was a fool. He was a complete fool. Surly and mean, you know, all he did. And he asked David for help. I mean, David asked him for help, and he rejected the anointed of the Lord. But then Abigail, when she heard that things were not really good because David decided to destroy Nabal and everybody there, then she behaved in the proper way before David, and David then praised her for her wisdom, using a different word than hakmah in Hebrew. So we can see her action being the reflection or the example of that particular word for wisdom. So we see this lady here speaking in chapter 1, and she says, how long will simple ones love simplicity, and how long mockers will love mockery? And then verse 23, she says, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. So we have these folks. Wisdom is speaking, and how valuable this is. In chapter 3, she's more valuable than rubies, and anything else that you desire, but it's not compared with her. She's greatly valued. But then, these folks, they don't care. They're pursuing something else. Wisdom is being offered, but I don't care. The simple doesn't care. The fool doesn't care, of course. And the book of Proverbs talks about the fool as one who trusts in himself, trusts in his own understanding, his own heart. So when he has this kind of great offer, the greatest offer of the world, wisdom personified, I don't care. So guess what? Guess what? Anyway, if you accept, the first thing is accept. accept. Accept the words. Be open to receive it. Pursue it. See the value. Go after it with all you have. That's what she's saying here. My son, chapter 2, verse 1. If you accept my words, store up my commands within you. Commands, storing up commands means memorizing it. Memorizing the scriptures. Memorizing the book of Proverbs, for instance. Turning your ear to wisdom. Applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. So there's a big intensity here in this pursuit. And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, see, don't give the value, right? Silver. Treasure. I think especially the ladies, right, when they receive a nice gift, diamond and things like this, it causes something inside of you, doesn't it? Some emotional thing. It's good, isn't it? There's emotion involved here because it's so valuable. So this pursuit is very intense. If you pursue wisdom, chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all you have, get wisdom. Sell that treasure, sell that ring, and get wisdom because it's the principal thing. If you look for it with all you have, it's like what comes to my mind, the pursuit of those digging to get those miners in Chile. Some people were looking for them, right? Digging, making a hole there. And then, 16 days, nothing happened. 17 days. That's a long time, isn't it? To keep digging. And then they found a sign of life down there. And they did not rest until they got those guys out, right? That's the kind of intensity in the pursuit. Pursue it. Be committed in that pursuit. If you are committed in that pursuit, then guess what? Then you will understand. Well, you're looking for wisdom, but the result here is a little different. Then you understand what? The fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God. Isn't that the main thing? Isn't that the main thing? In the book of Job, chapter 28, verse 28 says, the fear of the Lord is what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. And to shun away evil is understanding. You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Isn't that the main thing? That's the main thing. The knowledge of God. How big is that? How big is that? Well, several things come to my mind. Right now. Isaiah, for instance. Remember Isaiah chapter 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up. Above him were seraphs flying. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and two were flying, saying to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. When Isaiah had that vision, that wonderful vision, he said, woe me, I'm ruined. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I abide among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. It's almost like conversion here happening in Isaiah's life. And then later he hears the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And then he said, here am I, send me. As if he was really knowing God at that moment. Before, maybe he just had heard about him. It's like Job was a man of integrity, a man who feared the Lord, but needed something else. When God really rebuked him, he said, now my eyes can see you. Before I had heard, but now I can see you. The knowledge of God, the main thing in life, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, he had his profile there, his pre-grief. If anybody can boast on their achievements in righteousness. I can do that. But all those stuff for me is rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of the knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of that, I have considered everything else as rubbish. So I want to know him. I want to have churches planted. I want to have people being saved. No. That's nothing compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, knowing him. Do you know him? Do you know him? It's not knowing him, knowing about him, but knowing him, experiencing him. Do you know him today? I remember an experience that I had in 2000. I shared that with the church there in Senegal when I was speaking there 2 weeks ago, which was another great privilege that God gave me. In the year 2000, I went to Brazil with a group of men. We just sang there, four young men. And before I went, to the consulate in the American Immigration Office in Philadelphia. I just want to condensate my story here, so I'm speaking very fast. To get a permission, because I'm here in the States with a green card, which is not green, by the way, it's beige. But, and then the lady said, you can go to Brazil and then go to the consulate, get a visa and come back. So I did that, and I got a different word. No, I cannot give you a visa. So, okay, what am I going to do now? Everything that I have, my family's in the States, my ministry is there. So what? She said, well, get a lawyer and get the process of a green card of a residence from here. I can't do that. And then I had this passage of Isaiah in front of me, the Lord seated on his throne. And I went back to the consulate. They said, no, cannot give you a visa. I went back again. No, they cannot give you a visa. I went back, and every time I went there, I had to pay $100. So that's not a cheap enterprise, you know what I mean? And then the third time they gave it to my wife, they didn't give it to me. So I was stuck there in Brazil. What am I going to do? And then the fourth time when I went there, they said, no. Again, then the guy who said no was drinking coffee late afterwards. After hours, everybody had left. And then I came to him. I said, greetings. And then he said, oh, you are the religious worker visa guy. And to make a long story short, he ended up giving me the visa. Now, I could never have done something like this. So that, for me, was a great experience of the Lord's intervention. I really knew God at that moment in a very special way. You know what I mean? When he intervenes, because you are looking for him, you are committing that pursuit of wisdom, then he does this kind of thing. If he is not doing now, it's because he has a purpose. Just have to keep on going. Amen? And knowing him, pursuing him, more and more. And keep worshiping him. And consider the knowledge, his knowledge, as the Apostle Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's a big deal. To help us to overcome temptations. And the fellowship of his sufferings. The koinonia of his sufferings. In other words, suffering for the things that he suffered for. Being conformed with him in his death. That's the main thing. That's the wisdom. That's the fear of the Lord. To know him. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and, which is a synonym here, the knowledge of the Holy One with capital H. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear, you're looking for wisdom and then you understand the fear of the Lord because the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Amen? How committed are you in that pursuit? And he says here, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And they are all right here. From his mouth, his words, knowledge and understanding. And then verse 7, he holds victory in store for the upright, which is a synonym for the wise. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless.
For he guards the course of the just, is the wise, and protects the way of his faithful ones. And then verse 9, then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. Isn't that great? That everything that I would do would be right and just and fair. I'm not like that, but I want to be. And that's the idea of righteousness, by the way, in the book of Proverbs. It talks about the wisdom as social skills that produce an abundant life. Righteousness in Proverbs is mainly righteousness, not in relationship with God, although it is a little bit, but it's mostly righteousness in relationship with other folks, or doing what is right. And as my former professor was sharing, and I was listening to him again as I drove yesterday, I had my iPhone connected with the car. Isn't that great that I can listen to these things when I'm driving? It's righteousness in the sense of this advantaging. I have an accent, so I understand. The word advantage, right? So it's disadvantaging ourselves to advantage others. Isn't that counterintuitive? Doesn't go with our nature? We want to advantage ourselves instead of advantaging others. But the idea of righteousness in Proverbs is to advantaging others, even if disadvantaging ourselves, if it is necessary. If I do this in my relationship with my wife, if I do this in my relationship with my coworkers, if I do this with my relationship with my kids or people whom I'm relating day to day, isn't that going to have a big impact? That's wisdom. That is wisdom. Doing what is right and just and fair. The Lord gives wisdom. And then it says, my time is really close to the end here. And I like this verse, verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So again, wisdom and knowledge, synonyms, talking about the same person. Okay? Wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. The knowledge that you need to relate properly to people and to God as well, that will produce an abundant life. You will taste it. That's what I like about this verse. You taste it. It's like honey. Do you like honey? I love honey. The book of Proverbs chapter 24 talks about honey. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Good for your health and pleasant to your taste. If you find it, it's like wisdom. It talks about wisdom and honey, chapter 24. If you find it, there's a future hope, and your hope won't be cut off. You taste it. Have you tasted it? Now, what I really like about this whole deal here is that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is a lady. But in the New Testament, wisdom is not a lady. Isn't that great that we can see things in a person? You see, this lady of wisdom, she's wise. How is she? Oh, she's humble, she's this and that. In the New Testament, who is wisdom? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, talks about him. Talks about the Greeks looking for wisdom their way, and the Jews looking for signs. But the Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified, and he has become for us, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And this verse comes, let him who boasts, boast in knowing the Lord. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, talks about the fact that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when you think about wisdom, it is Jesus. Isn't that great?
In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you want to be really wise, be like him. And isn't he who said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. So these trials are tough. I saw TV, LG. LG, I think, stands for life is good, right? But maybe it should be LH. Life is hard. Because life is hard, isn't it? Isn't life hard? We have loss. People die. People who are dear to us. We lose jobs. We struggle with finances many times. Kids who are rebelling. Relationships. It is hard. It is hard. How to deal with all this stuff? With wisdom. Then we have him. That's wisdom. To imitate. But not only that, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and then I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, hang out with me. Hang out with me and learn from me. Remember that verse in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because the fool is the one who leans on his own understanding. In all your ways, know him. In all your ways, take him into account. In all your ways, acknowledge that he is in charge. Amen? He's in charge. If you are in charge, guess what? Won't be good. That's what Proverbs is talking about. But if you acknowledge that he's in charge, guess what? Then he'll make your path straight. Little by little, he'll straighten that out. That's his promise, isn't it? But then he says, learn from me. Learn how to handle that from me, because I am meek and humble in heart. Big deals. Why did he exalt those two qualities? Because they're very important, aren't they? He could say, I'm powerful, I'm strong. No, he didn't say that. Meek and humble in heart. What is meekness? Somebody said meekness is energy under control. Proverbs 28:26 says, the one who walks according to his own heart is a fool. When I'm angry, if I walk according to my anger, what's going to happen? Right? But if I have the control of the Holy Spirit in my anger, then I'm able to stop, okay, think, pray, ask God for the proper thing to do, okay? Meekness. I am meek and humble in heart. And that's what we need to be. I am self-seeking. That's my problem. That's your problem too. That's why we get into problems, isn't it? Because we exalt ourselves instead of humbling ourselves. But he, look at him. Wise, humble in heart. Dependent on his Father, on the Lord. The one who, when he was insulted, he didn't throw insults back. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. So that we would follow his example. And he who was in form of God, he did not see something to grasp onto the fact that he was God. But what? He emptied himself. Made himself like a servant. And was obedient to God, to the Father, even to the death in the cross. So here's our wisdom. Isn't that great that we have such a Savior that we can run to in our time of need? Not only for our salvation, we already saved, but salvation from our trials, from our difficulties, and get wisdom from him, learn from him, imitate him, consider him, receive from him the power that we need. But this is going to take place in our life if you pursue it. Are you committed? And I think for me today, as I come to you, I think the main thing here is, how committed are you in that pursuit? Because the book of Proverbs talks about the simple. It's kind of he's waving back and forth, doesn't really believe, or believe sometimes, doesn't believe. How committed are you in that pursuit of wisdom? If you are, guess what? You will understand the fear of the Lord. You will find the knowledge of God. You will have eternal life, which is abundant life that comes through Christ, through knowing Him. Do you know Him? And remember that He is the one who died on the cross for you. He shed His blood on the cross to forgive your sins. He was buried and He was raised from the grave to give you life, eternal life, and abundant life today. That's why wisdom is social skills that produce abundant life, because it's all in Him. Amen? It's all in Him, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you need Him in your life. You need to open your heart for Him to come in and reside in you, and for you to make a commitment to serve Him, to live for Him instead of living for yourself. And I trust that the Lord is going to use His word to accomplish that in your life for His glory. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are grateful for Your word, which is living and effective. Many verses which were shared this morning. Father, You know our needs, each one of us. And as You have exhorted us through Your word today to be committed in that pursuit of wisdom, which is in Christ Jesus, cause us, Father, each one of us, to be truly committed in that pursuit. As Your word says, the rewards are so great for those who find it. And even though we struggle many times because of our trials and tribulations, trials that cause us not to experience the joy that is there in Christ Jesus, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, cause us to persevere, knowing that it is there, and experiencing in the bottom of our hearts that peace that surpasses all knowledge and understanding that only You can give. And Father, that as a result of that pursuit, we will be found faithful to You in everything we do, experiencing what is right, just, and fair, living to the glory of Your name. And also as a result of that, doing what You have called us to do, which is to make disciples for the glory of Your name. Father, bless us today as we entrust ourselves to that end for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.